Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast of Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Brian Mondo.
And I'm Jeff Jackson.
Jeff, I am so glad that we have the wonderfully articulate and experienced Angelina Velasco still with us discussing orality.
You're not the only one. I mean, that was some incredible stuff that she shared with us in the first session, and I'm really excited about what we're going to talk about during this time.
Jeff, you had said you had a couple of other questions for her, so why don't you roll those out and let her unpack them?
You know, Angelina, as I said in the previous podcast, sometimes when you introduce a new method, a new way of doing things, there's some pushback, there's some resistance by the old guard, by people that have been doing things the way they've been doing things forever. And one of the accusations, now I don't know if that's too strong a word, but one of the observations about storying a lot of times is, well, it's kind of weak on, you know, how can you get real theology? How can you get solid doctrine by doing stories? And you started to unpack for us how that happens and so forth. So I'd like you to unfold that a little bit more for us. Maybe if you have any examples of how somebody's come to understand truths about God, who he is, his character, by listening to these stories. If you have any examples of that, that'd be great to hear.
Usually, I find that it's usually actually missionaries and some pastors that are resistant to this method because people who have been in ministry a long time, 30 years, 40 years, they're usually the you know, they know how to preach. They know they have to get the Greek, the Hebrew, and all that. And so, and then you teach this new method. Oh, you just learned the story with act, and you present it with actions and expressions. And so, I have one, 2 years ago, I have one pastor from Monterrey who came to Cuernavaca. He sat down there listening to the story of the widow that dropped this two pennies, right? Two coins.
Yes.
And so, oh, I know that story. Oh, I know the lesson in that story. So that he wasn't, in his mind, I know what this story is about. I know the lesson that this story will say, you know. And it's about giving and how we have to have the right attitude towards giving and all that, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, he was in my small group. And as we started learning the story, in these workshops, we learn the story and we teach people how to prepare a story. And as we were preparing the story, I started asking, so how did Jesus know that the woman only had two coins? How, and that she didn't have any more after that she dropped those two coins. Usually when you give your offering, right? Maybe you saw what the woman dropped, but what was left, we don't know, mm-hmm. right? So he was like, huh. And then I asked, so what might we think about Jesus from the fact that he knew something that he didn't see, right? And so that pastor now is so sold out because he realized just by asking the questions, you cannot say, oh, this is the lesson for that story. You cannot. No, as you study each character from the story, as you ask questions about the choices they made, choices they could have made, what might we learn about Jesus? What might we learn about this woman who gave these two coins, right? As you dialogue about it, you realize some things we assume right away, but then sometimes the story doesn't say it. Or like I've heard that in the Muslim world, somebody heard this story and then got convinced that Jesus is God because Jesus knew that the woman had no more money after he dropped the two coins, right? Either Muhammad or the other gods, not Christian gods, would not have that knowledge.
Correct.
So what might you think about Jesus from knowing the fact that he knew that the woman didn't have any more money?
That's a great example. And you know, just in my own, you know, cross-cultural ministry, having lived and served in the Philippines and done ministry in a lot of other countries and dealt with people from around the world, the whole idea, you know, that God's revealed himself in his word, it's a story. We learn about God's character and God's nature and his attributes by reading the story of him interacting with who he's created and what he's created. But somehow, going back to stories, we resist that when we start thinking of him sort of with a systematic theology mindset. Well, God is gracious, God is merciful, and he is all those things. But how do we know those things? We know those things about him because he's told us his story of interacting with his creation. And that's one of the great facets of what you've come to learn and what's become a component, the main component of your ministry. It's a beautiful thing.
You know, I guess the tough thing is for some of these guys is that, not these guys, mm-hmm. us, mm-hmm. all of us that are Bible teachers and have, you know, if we've been to Bible college, you know, we've been taught that parables teach one thing or there's one point and there's not a ton of takeaways from different parables. And to think that, you know, different people can get different things from the same story, that is a, that can be a scary thought yes. to people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's so true, Jeff. What you said is that we see the book, we try to take the book in the Bible and systematize it. And it's not a book of systematic theology. It's a narrative. And Jesus told stories. And really, what story, what great story has only one takeaway from the story?
Mm-hmm.
No, there's nuances and there's yes. levels. And as people interact with that story, the Holy Spirit does something different with each person because he's made each person different and something different's happening in that person's yes. life.
And sometimes the most amazing spiritual truth come from people who don't have any theological background.
Amen.
Or sometimes from children. Mm-hmm. I had a high school grad in my group last Friday, and he said something profound, which I have not seen in that story. And I've told that story many times, mm-hmm. you know? So I was like, wow. It's 75% of the Bible are stories.
Yes. Yes, that's right. And not that there's not value.
That opens so much.
Yeah, it does. And not that there's not value in systematic theology. It's not that we're devaluing systematic theology and sort of that way of understanding God and categorizing, you know, what he's revealed in his word. But we actually have so focused on that we put aside the reality that this is a real God who's a real person that interacts with real people. And it's within the context of an overarching story.
Systematic theology is what happens after you understand the story.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So have you, Angelina, as you've done this and you've learned the method and it's a major part of what you're doing. How much interaction have you had with sort of scripture in audio form? Are the people that you're interacting with, are they aware of the scripture itself in audio form, or have you had any interaction yourself with that type of ministry?
Simply the Story has, when we do workshops, we bring in what is called the Mega mm-hmm. Voice. It is the Bible in audio format. It has the God Story Project okay. in there. It's an 8-minute audio version of the God Story, mm-hmm. which is from creation to revelations. They chose 18 stories to give a teaching of, you know, the story of mm-hmm. the Bible. So we have that. But for me personally, you know, sometimes, you know, I like to read the Bible. Right now I'm doing the chronological Bible okay. reading. And, you know, sometimes when I'm so tired, you know, I don't want to read, right? So now what I do is, I put YouTube and I listen to it when I'm washing dishes, whatever my reading is for mm-hmm. that day. It has helped me before if I'm tired or I'm sleepy or, you know, I travel a lot. So there are some days that I just need to sleep for 2-3 days, mm-hmm. you know? And so, and then I would feel bad. Oh, I didn't read my Bible, you know? But now what I do is I listen now. So if I can't read, you know, while I'm washing dishes or while I'm cooking, I'm listening mm-hmm. to scripture now. So personally, it has helped me that reading is not the only way to feed myself spiritually, right. you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, what you've learned and what you're passing on and, you know, what I've learned since my excursion into this realm, and I discovered it when we lived in the Philippines, is that the reality, mm-hmm. you know, of Romans 10, where it says faith comes by hearing. The Bible does not say faith comes by reading. Faith comes by hearing because mm-hmm. God knows the majority of the people on this planet don't know how to read, and even the ones that read don't learn best by reading. So faith comes by hearing.
If they can read, they don't want to read.
They don't like to read. It's difficult for them to read. And so, again, just the wisdom mm-hmm. of God. And yeah, I mean, there's not that the written word isn't important. It absolutely is. It's crucial. But the reality is the word of God, the written word of God makes clear that not everybody is going to come to faith by reading, and that reading is essential for spiritual growth. That's a heavy statement. I've had yes. pushback on that. But the idea that you must learn to read to grow spiritually, I don't buy it, and I don't think it's biblical. Yeah, should you learn to read? Yes. Should the scriptures be translated into a written form? Yes. But spiritual growth can't hinge on the ability to read.
And also, how about people who cannot read and they want to
exactly.
teach the Bible?
Exactly.
We actually have oral yes. Bible schools in yes. many countries, because there are, you know, they learn the stories, but you know, if you cannot read, like they can, you cannot go to seminary or Bible school if right. you cannot read, right? But there's a big population who cannot read and they want to teach scriptures. So are we depriving them of that honor
exactly.
to teach scriptures if they cannot read?
You have just totally blown my mind. I have never even one time thought about that.
I was in Guatemala last May, and there was one woman there who runs a shelter for, there's like in another part of Guatemala, she traveled 15 hours to come mm-hmm. to our workshop. She runs a shelter for like if the family member is sick and then the family, they don't have a place to stay. So she welcomes them into her house, but mm-hmm. she cannot read. But she has a wonderful ministry of like a shelter for the family members who are right. in a crisis. And so she was in my small group. She was all attentive, you know, for 5 days. And towards the end, towards Friday, the last day of the workshop, she was begging to try to tell the story again because she really wants to master this method. She was so joyful because now, even though she cannot read, she can teach, she can share, she can evangelize all these families that are in her house. So I was just overjoyed. I felt like what a wonderful privilege I have to teach this woman how to evangelize, even though she cannot read. We gave her a mega voice so that she can listen mm-hmm. to the stories. So she can learn the stories, tell them, and then she can engage them right. in a dialogue.
So Angelina, I want to ask you a question that in my experience with Simply the Story and other storying methods, that has been somewhat controversial, and I want to throw it out there for you. One of the dangers of anything when we discover something new is to think that's the only way to do something, and that's the only tool that's necessary to lead a church or to do this or do that. And so I know you have a very balanced view that this is one tool, this is one method God has given to his church to help people grow and understand who he is and, you know, grow in their faith and so forth. Can you give me some examples of churches, particularly churches, that use this as one of their tools and that would sort of answer that question of, hey, if you're not doing storying, you're depriving your people of the most important thing in their lives?
I agree with you. When we teach now, I remember we were at the Calvary Chapel Bible Institute in Ensenada. We were teaching this church planters. They will be, when they graduate from this school, they will be church planters, right? And mostly primarily in Mexico. And so we came out there telling them, specifying to them that this is one tool. You know, when you're building a house, you need a hammer, you need a screwdriver, you need a, you know, so depending on your audience, on the people group that you are ministering to, you will use the right tool, right? Whatever would help them. I know a church in Cuernavaca who is using Bible stories for their small groups. They have about I don't know, maybe 10 small groups in their during the week that meets Monday to Friday in different times. So out of maybe 10 small groups, they give the church members a choice. Okay, this small group is doing this Bible study. It's a book on learning to forgive, okay? And then Tuesday morning, there's a storying, okay? And then Wednesday, there's another group that's doing another study on Experiencing God, the book by Henry Blackaby, okay? So, yes, they give the people opportunity, okay, where do you want to go? I actually, because I do stories all the time, I actually join a small group on studying one book because, you know, I'm not saying this is the only method. God is a creative God. He uses all things. This is one tool. In Mexico, there's a lot of people are oral learners. In Guatemala, I was just there. There's a lot of people are oral learners. Majority, even in the U.S., only 13% in the U.S. like to learn by reading. Majority of the people don't like to learn by reading. So for that population group, this is very useful. But of course, it is not the only tool for evangelism and discipleship. And we're not saying that you don't need to go to seminary, you don't need to go to Bible school. Of course, we're very thankful for those highly literate people. They translate the Bible. We're very grateful that they do those things. But now that we know more about oral learners, so this is a great tool. Back then, we didn't know about oral learners, right? We just know that, this is the way to do it. So, but now that we know that there's a big population of the country, of the wherever you are working, there's a big population that are oral learners, then certainly this is a tool for oral learners.
Great.
Wow.
If somebody was coming new to join you on the field there, and you were going to tell them to prepare, what they need to be prepared for when they arrive, particularly in the area of ministry among the people that you interact with, what would you tell them, and where would storying fit in with that?
Well, first of all, they have to be highly relational. The people group that I work with, the Mexicans, I'll give you an example. Here, when you call, I just want to ask this. You go straight to why you're calling.
Yes.
Right? I want to confirm that you're coming on Friday, 6 p.m. All right? That's how we do it here. In Mexico, when whoever answers the phone, it's not the person I want to talk. Hi, this is Angelina. How are you today? My mom is sick. Oh, what is wrong with her? You got to talk for 45 minutes about that mom.
You beat around the bush. That's part of the culture.
Before you can, I'd like the last 5 minutes. Oh, by the way, I want to know if you are coming to this thing, So for me, you can learn whatever method of storying you want. It's very useful. But whoever wants to be a missionary to Mexico, they have to learn how to relate to the people. They don't think 1, 2, 3 there, okay? They don't think, okay, this is the message, first P, first, second P. They don't think that way. So even the preaching, you have to tell stories or use a lot of illustrations to make a biblical point, Of course, before you come, you can learn as many methods as you like. This is what I've found to be very effective for where I am. And so this is what I use. But of course, I'm not saying that scripture memory is not valid or not valuable. I still memorize scripture, And I still, of course, read my Bible. And I'm very grateful for the navigators who gave me all that foundation of the disciplines, of personal disciplines for spiritual growth. But for ministry, for teaching, this is what I've found to be very effective. And it's not just for my small group. We teach people, you have 5 minutes waiting for a bus. And I've used this, I walk at 5 o'clock and there's a woman coming out of her house to out of her workplace and at 5 o'clock. And so we meet at the bus stop. So the time that she's waiting for the bus stop, I would just say, hey, can I just tell you a story? So in 5 minutes, I can engage her in a Bible story. And then the bus comes and then I say, oh, hey. And one time I remember telling the story of the storm to this woman. And then I asked, so what might we think about the disciples for asking Jesus, don't you care?
Right.
They don't
right.
have any faith, And then the bus came. But, at that time that I had, that's what I could give to that woman,
So brilliant.
I guess be highly relational and be flexible. I guess those are the two words of advice I have for who are coming.
And learn the language, right?
Of course, definitely.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for taking some time while you're visiting the States to do this with us. And if we have anybody that would like to make contact with you, maybe it's been provoked by what they've heard on these podcasts. Are you good with us putting them in contact with you?
Sure. I'd be happy to help anyone.
Okay, great. We'll get your email. And I found the websites for Story Runners and the Oral Bible School. And that concept, again, that you having a school for illiterate people that God has called into ministry, it's just like, I never even thought about the possibility of God calling someone into ministry that couldn't read, but how dumb of me.
But not just those who cannot read, how about the blind?
I know. I mean, you're beating me up now.
You want me to type my email here?
Yeah, we have it. Yeah, no problem.
We have your email. So thank you so much. Are there any other books, Angelina, that you could recommend or anything like that?
Somebody wrote a book about stories are not just for kids. I think it's by Christine Dillon. She's with an organization called Storying the Scriptures.
Okay.
I haven't read a book, but it's in one of my list.
Okay.
So that's one.
All right. We'll look for that.
Thank you so much. This was really good. And we'll
huge.
We'll let you know when we get it up on the website.
Yeah, this was a huge blessing.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. To learn more about becoming a missionary with Shepherd Staff, go to ssmfi.org/join. Connect with us on Facebook or Twitter by searching @ShepStaff on either platform.